Good morning. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom, affected every day. All part of the Social Podcast Network. How's everybody doing? Staying sober? Hanging in there? Holding on by your fingernails? Or do you got this? It's a good question. Why are you doing it? You know, I think that, someone once told me, you never get sober until you surrender. You know, I've always thought, surrender, giving up, that's no good. I'm never giving up, right? I don't like that term. It doesn't sit well. But someone also once told me, you'll never get sober until you're honest. Honest. I think the how it works, I don't know if you've ever read How It Works. You know, sometimes I read it in front of a meeting, before a meeting. And honestly, it says, you know, the word honestly, I don't know, three or four times in that, I think, in that thing. Honest. Look. And, you know, you got to be honest if you want to get sober. I don't think a lot of people really want to get sober. You know, that's fine. I didn't really want to get sober in the beginning either. I mean, no, I shouldn't say that. I really wanted to get sober. I think I was getting sober for the wrong reasons. To look good. Just the initial pink cloud that comes from getting sober when you live such a shitty existence. You know, and at the time, you know, I wasn't being honest. I was fine with it. I'm like, this is it. This is what I got. But to look back on it and realize that sometimes if there's too much work, I sometimes just say, you know what, this is the way it's going to be. And, you know, I got to be honest. It wouldn't be for years before I got sober would I finally get honest. Even to honest to a point that I don't know what honest meant. Do we all know what honest means? I mean, clearly it's the truth, right? To our own self be true. I don't know. It's really, you got to stick around, man. It's a constantly revealing journey. Just when you think you have it figured out, you realize you don't. What's it been over a decade?
It still smarts like it was 4 minutes ago.
No, that's funny. I just got back from, I had to go. So one of the benefits or one of the byproducts of getting sober and changing my lifestyle and living is all of a sudden people start relying on me. You know, your life gets better immediately. You start doing things. I think a lot of people that are new to recovery get confused because they start doing things that are so above what we used to do that they feel amazing, right? They feel like, oh, my God, I'm just amazing. When in turn, they're really just normal. You know, like showing up for work on time. Hey, great job. You showed up for work on time. Thank you. No, you're supposed to show. In fact, you're supposed to be early. That's normal. I've said this before. You live in the manure field long enough. When you finally come out to normal air, you think that that air is from God. It's blessed. When it's really just normal air. There's a lot of work in being normal. You know, it's, for me, living that lifestyle and constantly just, you know, in the muck. It wasn't long after changing, you know, my behavior and trying to get sober and you know, staying in the program and work with the sponsor. It seems like a lot of that, like, we don't tend to hold on to it for that long, the people that are in our lives. Like, they're like, listen, all right, man, dude's doing better. Let's move on with better. And you get better. But for me, I'm constantly wondering when the next shoe is going to drop. And that, you know, that's breaking a lot of rules. First of all, getting into the future, worrying about shit that I have no control of because it's not here. But it's such an old behavior. You know, it's like my mom used to say, Septembers are never good for you, Tommy. I don't know why. I guess I just always fucked up in September. But it was always that. It was like life would be going good, going well, and then the next thing you know, you do something. You drink, you party, you wreck, you crash, you say something, you do something. You know, it's just, it was always, when's the next shoe going to drop? And when I got sober you know, it was definitely far and few between, but I've made some giant mistakes in sobriety. Actually, I've made some giant mistakes while acting like I'm in sobriety when I really wasn't sober. Using pills. I think that's one of the first things a person trying to get sober has to do is be honest with what they do. I got sober because at some point in the night, I was so drunk, I would say and do things that were not typical of me. That was the motivation for me getting sober. I didn't want to get sober because of my behavior on the first drink. I didn't want to get sober for my behavior on the second drink. It was this one time, this one moment where it just went too far. You know, I could drink a pint of vodka before my wife got home. It was that sneaking that second drink that my voice would start to slur and my, you know, get a little tilt to my head. That's why I was trying to get sober, that moment. You know, getting sober, but when I'd had the back injury and taking the pain pills, that was not a problem. Yeah, I mean, I would get high. I was taking them to get high, but I wouldn't do anything. I wasn't driving. I wasn't abusive. It didn't create a lot of problems. So I thought. But slowly but surely, that kind of shit starts to undermine my progress. You know, because when I came in, I was like immediately not drinking to the point where I would get in a fight. You know, that had stopped. You know, another big reason I wanted to get sober, I was a drunk driver. I've said it before, if I could sit on the couch and watch SportsCenter and not leave the couch and drink, I probably still would drink. But I had to go on an adventure. And that's why I had to get sober. It wasn't for any of the shit up to that point. So those are the parts of my life that were so hard to work on. My father, you know, my parents are getting old. My dad's going to be 83 this month. My mom's 82. I talked about my mom in another podcast. We had to put her in her home into a long-term facility. And my dad is just, he comes from this generation. It's the age. I don't know what it is. But it's constantly inconvenience in his life. I was working on an order. It took me 6 hours. You know, I had to do this and I had to do that. And I'm like, Jesus, the only reason that I was able to open my mind and address some of the stuff that I was going through was because I drank too much. I was a total drunk. It was either address it or live a drunken life. And I had bigger plans for myself. I didn't know I did, but I would start to realize this isn't what you wanted for your life, to just drink vodka every day. So I was forced to look at this stuff. But guys like my dad doesn't drink. He's not doing drugs. You know, he's just living a life. But I think most, and I'm guessing, I don't know. It seems like a lot of people that I run into, you know, unless you have a big problem that makes you address a spirituality, a relationship with a higher power, the ability to open your mind to accept a higher power, unless you have all that, you're probably kind of living a life of inconvenience, like my dad. And, you know, he was over last night, and I was trying to explain to him. You know, you need something to do. You need a volunteer job. I mean, if all you do is wake up and it just a ton of shit is just in front of you to fix and to address. And the other thing that we're dealing with is a will, you know. And I'm like, you're having to sign over all of your hard-earned money, so to speak. I mean, you know, my dad's healthy, but there's something uncomfortable. There's something inconvenient about that. And then to worry about stuff, like I love the position, you know, like if, when I die, who cares, right? I'm dead. I'm gone. But you do want to make sure, like, your kids, you know, are taken care of. And that's a whole nother freaking subject, man. I'm not sure leaving your kids a bunch of money at an early age is taking care of them at all. I mean, it appears that it's what we would want, right? To have money. So what? They don't have to work? Get a free house? What is it? Because honestly, that is the stuff that really keeps our character. You know, if my dad if there was a situation where my dad, and my dad had some money, but the problem is that my mom is in a home, and they're paying a lot of money. I mean, there probably won't be any money left over anyway, which is fine. But if somehow I ended up with a bunch of money, I'm not sure leaving it to my kids at an early age would do them any good. I think it would hurt them. Money is the root of all evil. And the other thing my dad is struggling with are justified resentments. Justified resentments. I mean, that's a killer, right? I mean, if you're in the program, if you're trying to get sober, first thing you warn you about, don't, you know, watch out for justified resentments. My dad's like, what does that even mean, justified resentment? You know, it's like when the lawyer doesn't call you back in time, or they write, you know, and my dad's, you know, he's 82, so he comes from a time where, you know, letters were written, or letters were typed, or handwritten. You know, now he also comes from the email generation. They won't answer me. I sent her another email last night. You know, I can see my dad writing a 5-page email at midnight. You know, nobody responds. I mean, I get an email. I'm like, you know, at the bottom, it even says respond. Yes, no, thank you very much. Google does that. It gives me my response. And he's like, damn, it was like a 3-word response. I go, that's how people are today. You know? That's all he gave me, 3 words. Justified resentment. Now he's upset. And it should be, right? He should have deserved more words or, you know, more explanation. And they said, Dad, honestly, in the big picture, you know, you don't have that much money. You know, whatever it is. I mean, it seems like a lot. It's a lot to us. But, you know, in the big picture, there's people, a lot of people out there with a lot more money. You know, this lady's probably rolling her eyes. But one of the things he said at this meeting, which was interesting, he said to her, he goes, I got two pretty good sons, or no, my two sons turned out to be pretty good, finally. I go, I think we were pretty good the whole time. And we were just smoking weed, and you didn't like that. I mean, we were good sons. I mean, you know, steal from you. You know, I think I was a worse son in my later days, not living with my parents, being a drunk. You know, I talked about this before. You know, I stole my parents' peace and serenity. Wondering where I was, what I was doing, what I was getting into. You know, I have a son who's 15. You know, I worry about him. I don't worry about him, but I, you know, I want to know where he's at. I like to touch base. And I'm finding myself worrying a little too much sometimes. I don't know. I guess I started off this podcast talking about being honest. You know, honest. Honest in everything that I do today. Honest in my conversations, in my work relationships. Honest with my wife, with my children. When I'm not, man, that shit does not settle well. Does not feel good to lie. Do you want to be sober? Honestly? I bet some people out there would say nope, but I have to. Or because of my probation, or because of my relationship. There's nothing worse than being in a relationship that requires you to be sober. It's brutal. Relationships with conditions. Brutal. Those don't work. I've been in them and I've been behind them. It's no fun. Wheeling and dealing. I remember the first time when I first got married. You know, there was a lot of things I had to take an honest look at. You know, if I looked at that in the beginning, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I've been a great girl. No. She was a great girl, but that wasn't it. I was heartbroken. Took her hostage almost. With no intent on being a good guy. I mean, I would say that I wanted to be. Maybe I did. Maybe I intended to. It's funny, they say don't get in a relationship in the first year. I think I waited 1 year and a day and got in a relationship. Let me see if I can find the daily what? Reflections. Went all right yesterday. I read it. Didn't seem cops didn't show up. Didn't get in any trouble. Let's see if we can get away with it one more time. Let's see if this daily reflection has anything to do with what I've been thinking today. Building a new life for September 3rd. Building a new life. We feel a man is unthinking when he says sobriety is enough. That's what I said. That's basically what I just said. When I reflect on step 9, I see the physical sobriety must be enough for me. I need to remember that hopelessness I felt before I found sobriety and how I was willing to go to any lengths for it. Physical sobriety is not enough for those around me. However, since I must see that God's gift is used to build a new life for my family and loved ones, just as importantly, I must be available to help others who want the AA way of life. I ask God to help me share the gift of sobriety so that its benefits may be shown to those I know and love. That's right. That is right. Well, that's all about being honest, you know. My physical behavior was the obvious part. You know, my behavior, it wasn't my physical behavior up to drink 8. It was my physical behavior on drink 9. is really the reason I got sober. So all that behavior up until that was not really a big deal. All the reasons that I got sober, all the big black eye reasons, black eye, not black eye, black eye reasons that I had to get sober were all solved the first day when I stopped drinking. I stopped getting in fights. I stopped being an asshole to my wife. I stopped drinking and driving. I stopped smoking crack. I mean, you put enough alcohol in me and I would do whatever drug came bebop in my way. So all of those big ones, they stopped immediately. Done. The physical. And that was good for me. I was like okay with that. I was like, I'm good. But you hang around long enough, you do this long enough, you have the ups and downs long enough, you have the windows and doors start opening and closing in your life because of this program. And then you start wanting a little more. What would he has? I still don't know if I've gotten to this point rightly. You think I have? I think I talked about it in the podcast yesterday about the lady that said that she didn't want to... she didn't really want to mess with the big book. She didn't like the way it was written. And I'm like, well, then you really don't want to be sober. You know, those moments come up, you know. Do you really want to be sober? Like, I'm going to celebrate my first year, but I'm not sitting up front. Oh, yeah, you are. That's what we do. Nah, not me. Well, you must not really want to be sober then. I'm like, oh, well, I really want to be sober. So I guess I'll do it. I'll never forget that, too. I thank myself. Thank you, me, for all of the hard work. I mean, there's something to that, but there's something absolutely not to that. You know, the other part of this program, and I was trying to explain this to that lady, and if I said this in the podcast the other day, I apologize, but the reality is that I don't think anybody really understands the steps until you're finally called on by somebody else to teach them. I'd been through the steps. I mean, I got it. Thank you. I understand it. But it wasn't until I started to sit down with a friend and start trying to teach the steps did I start to understand the steps. And did I start to understand my problem? More shall be revealed. Time takes time. Time, time, time. Time, time. What's up, time, time? Honesty. Time. Staying in the moment. Being present. You know, that's the other thing I had to talk to my dad about. You know, he gets so far out there. And when you start talking about wills, you know, when someone dies and then if I'm around here and the next person's... It's like, oh my God, none of this shit. Who knows what's going to happen? But we're... You know, we're building documents and wording it around this, you know, when something might happen. And it's very uncomfortable. And it's dealing with money and then you're paying somebody. It's just a toxic place. But I had to talk to my dad about that as well. You know, he gets so far out there. I'm like, you have got to stay in the moment. If you're new, if you're coming in, if you're wanting to get sober and you're listening to this podcast and it somehow piqued your interest, you know, I'll tell you what my buddy Matt used to say. Drink a lot of water, go for a walk, eat really well, and get a lot of rest. Those four things are the foundation of getting sober. I was watching something last night. This lady was talking about how stress tortures the body, attacks muscles, attacks the inflamed muscles, inflames the heart muscle. All this shit that goes on just out of stress and anxiety. Like if you think of a, if you think of like a rabbit, I mean, I had a rabbit. We shot a firecracker off by it, killed it. Freaking had a heart attack. Anxiety and stress can do damage. Some animals, like a rabbit, they'll just die. Goats fall over. Dogs become vicious. I mean, it changes things. Anxiety and stress changes things. But when it's happening to you, we're like, eh, that's just how it is. People confess, I'm so stressed out, I got so much anxiety. They'll confess it. A lot of people don't know how to fix it. Stress for me is major inconveniences. That's all my life is. The only problems I have in life are major inconveniences. Until I recognized that, I just lived in it. Until I came to this program and got sober and had to address it, then I could start living a little bit more of a stress-free life. And it's been a blessing. I hope everyone's having a great day.
Soon I'll grow up and I'll
Have a great day. Bye. For serenity and peace. Do you even know what you want? Do you even know what you're doing? You know? The willingness, the surrender. I give up to what I think is right, and I'm going to go ahead and choose and do what you say is probably right. Doing things for the attempt and not the outcome. Is that what you do? You know, the God thing is such a tough subject for a lot of people in this program. And I think it's because God has let them down, at least the version of that they had created. I know he had let me down for so long. Santa was more important than God. Because Santa at least delivered once a year. God didn't give me nothing. Anything. I didn't understand the relationship with God and church and meetings. You know, it's a time to stop whatever it is we choose to be doing and take an hour to do what we need to be doing, whether it's getting a meeting or being there for the next person, the inconvenience of it. And, you know, there's just a lot of great lessons in sobriety. It's a tough gig. I hope everyone's doing well. Thank you for being patient. I don't know how this is going to sound, but it is what it is. And it's all I have to offer today. Stay sober. If you're struggling with anything, reach out, touch base. You know, and if you're struggling with a higher power, or you're struggling with the big book, just find some willingness. Put the shit that we think is an issue aside for a while and just go with it. You know? It's about the attempt, not the outcome.